Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of politics and political science. I had a call, Tim, from somebody who said, why can't Joe Biden continue to be the vice president?
Well, that's a good question. We'd need to turn to Article 2 of the Constitution to see if vice presidents are term limited the way presidents are. I can't say off the bat. I would say, on the other hand, as much as he might enjoy it, and his public appearances have taken on a sort of valedictory quality lately, I'm not sure he'd bring a lot to a Democratic ticket that's trying to look ahead.
Well, but don't people really like this guy? I really like him.
They do. The public opinion about Joe Biden is bifurcated, though. He's very much admired, and people have very warm feelings towards him. And on the other hand, he has this image that he himself has addressed, Goofy Uncle Joe, the member of your family who tells a crazy joke at the family reunion or puts you in a headlock or does things that just catch you off guard. And if you've ever watched him swear in new members of the Senate, the vice president is the president of the Senate, he'll joke with members of the family of the new senator, flirt with their spouses or mother. After a while, it can get a little out of hand, and he knows that. And so, on the one hand, he's a very charming and capable vice president, but on the other hand, I'm not sure if he ran for the presidency or continued in office, he would get that benefit of the doubt of those warm feelings.
Let's talk about dope. Massachusetts says Massachusetts is liberal. Voters are, I think, you're going to tell me about this whether I'm right or wrong, overwhelmingly for the legalization of marijuana. But some of the outstanding politicians in the state just don't want it.
It's true. It's true. There is the potential for a ballot question in the fall that would legalize marijuana for anyone age 21 or older. And we did some polling in early April and asked voters what they thought of the question. 57% said they support, 35% said they oppose, 7% said they didn't know, 1% just declined to answer. So it would seem that that question is in a position to pass, and it would follow a couple of other questions that have been on the ballots in recent elections. In 08, the state decriminalized possession of an ounce or less of marijuana. It's now a civil penalty, issue punished with a fine. And then in 2012, the state approved the use of marijuana for medical purposes. In each case, those questions passed by about two-thirds. So it would appear the voters are ready to extend this by legalizing marijuana, but elected officials have concerns about this and are putting together a campaign to encourage people to oppose this idea.
Well, you know, here I am. Now, you're not going to believe this. My students always laugh when I tell them this, but I've never smoked pot in my life, so I don't have a horse in the race. I think it's a sort of semi-liberal-ish position to be for it. But I've talked to, on our Medical Monday program and others, I've talked to outstanding physicians who say it really is a gateway drug and we really shouldn't do it. And if you're driving impaired and the rest of it, it would be bad. So what I'm fascinated by is you got a bunch of politicians, senior politicians, who are saying, no, this isn't a good idea. Usually they can be found pandering to the public, but not in this case. Maybe somebody's finally being responsible.
Yeah, I think it also puts them in a difficult political position. Many politicians would not feel comfortable taking a public position in favor of marijuana legalization, regardless of what their personal feelings or past behavior might suggest. And it may be one of those issues where state leaders do campaign against it, knowing full well they're likely to lose, but at least they've put themselves on the record in terms of taking a position informed by health research or informed by experiences of law enforcement agencies. It wouldn't be the first time the voters have said, we're not going to follow your advice on this. There's a libertarian aspect to this issue as well that bridges party divides, and there's an absolutely clear age factor as well, as you can imagine, that younger people are overwhelmingly in favor of legalization.
So I want to move the subject to the Donald, which is always an interesting thing for people to hear. Based on your extraordinary position as a professor, political scientist, as a pollster, is he going to win? Is he going to win the nomination?
That part I don't know. In terms of the delegates and the delegate wrangling that's happening, we haven't seen this occur since 1976 when Gerald Ford went to the Republican convention without the majority of delegates. He eventually got them, obviously. But there are there's fine print, there are rules, what we're finding out now is there is a shadow campaign that's going on, and the Trump campaign was caught off guard in that regard, putting loyalists in these delegate slots so that if the choice goes to a second ballot that he can hold on to his delegates. So it's anybody's guess right now what will happen. The fallout, though, if Trump gets more votes and more delegates than any other candidate and somehow loses the nomination, the fallout to the party will be significant, and it will make for a really fascinating general election campaign. And you're seeing some of that expectation even now.
Do we have any idea why the Republican so-called establishment really hates Trump the way they do? I mean, here's a guy who could get center voters.
Yeah, I think part of it is he's quite unpredictable. Take, for example, this ongoing debate on LGBTQ and transgender rights and these arguments over restrooms. And Trump said, let people use the restroom they want. That just came out of the blue. And party leaders, particularly courting social conservatives, just look at moments like that and say, wow, we have no idea what Donald Trump will do next. This is not a great position for the party to be in terms of its nominee. And so I think that level of unpredictability gives the party elders a lot of pause.
So if Donald Trump does get the nomination, right now the polls are showing that Hillary would beat him quite badly, or Bernie would beat him quite badly. What does that portend? Things change right after the nomination, after the campaign really begins.
They do. And we can point to other cycles where a nominee coming out of the convention is prohibitively ahead. Think about Michael Dukakis against George Herbert Walker Bush in 1988, and then things change. In this case, though, you see the Republican Party beginning to think about firewalls, beginning to think about if Trump is at the top of the ticket, how do we protect the majority in the Senate? Indeed, Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, is thinking, how do we protect the majority in the House? Although that would be quite a significant occurrence if indeed the Democrats were to threaten that majority. And so you see a party saying, well, yeah, we can see how the general election unfolds, but we're going to hedge our bets. We're going to have some backup plans in place and prepare for divided government in 2017 with a Democrat in the White House and the Republicans controlling both chambers of the Congress.
You know, my only comment that we got to go is I don't think Trump is Goldwater. You know, Goldwater, they had the little girl picking the petals off the flower and the atomic bomb and all the rest of it. That got a lot of people scared. I think a lot of these people in the middle class, the middle of the politically, I think they like him.
That could be. I think in this case, the presidential debates would be pivotal because what we have seen where Trump has stumbled has been when the discussion shifts to policy, and he just hasn't demonstrated the grasp of public policy that you expect from a president. And so I think the televised presidential debates will play a pivotal role in the fall.
It's always wonderful to talk to our good friend and our professor, Tim Bersalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a guy who, as you hear, knows his stuff. So thank you so much, Tim, for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Alan.